I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast. It's that time of year, March Madness, and today I have with me Day Sports writers Vicki Fulkerson and Gavin Keefe to talk about UConn and what's coming up in terms of brackets and games. Vicki, would you like to go first? The brackets were announced on Sunday, and where did that leave the UConn women?
Yeah, it was actually, I wanted to say, it was interesting last night. The men's bracket was announced first, and then the women's bracket was announced after that. So all the men's reporters and all the men's players and all the women's reporters and all the women's players and the radio announcer, Bob Joyce, had a little setup in the lobby of the Worth Family Champion Center, and there's people sitting on the floor typing. So it was pretty chaotic, you know, getting all the brackets done last night. They had a big TV set up so we could watch and write everything down before we went and talked to the players. The women drew the number 2 seed in the Bridgeport region. They're going to be playing number 15 Mercer, which is from Macon, Georgia. They're going to be playing them on Saturday at 1 p.m. on ABC in the first round from Gamble Pavilion.
What is Mercer? What do we know about Mercer?
Mercer, they are the Southern Conference champion. Their conference gets an automatic bid from winning their conference tournament. It's their fourth one in 5 seasons. Last year they played South Carolina, which was also, one of the top teams. They're the regular season and tournament champion of the Southern Conference. They beat Furman for the tournament championship, and the MVP is also their leading scorer. Her name is Amoria Neal Tizer. She had 26 points in the final. She's a guard, and they're coached by Susie Gardner, who played at the University of Georgia in the 80s and went to 2 Final Fours as a player. So they've been there before. It's not like, oh, they're making their first appearance or anything like that. They've been there before. And so they're playing UConn at 1 o'clock. And then the number 7 seed, which is Central Florida, plays number 10 Florida at 3:30 at Gamble Pavilion also. And then the UConn Mercer winner plays the UCF Florida winner on Monday.
Okay. And Gino sounded pretty satisfied about this whole, the way this all played out. So we'll get back to you with that.
Yeah.
Gavin, how did the men make out?
The men ended up with a 5 seed in the West region. Now that was pretty much what they expected. And they're in Buffalo. They play number 12, New Mexico State, at 6:50 p.m. on Thursday. The West region has been very good to UConn over the years. And 4 of the 5 times that they reached the Final Four, they started off in the West region. And the last 2 times they're in Buffalo, 2004 and 2014, they also went to and won the national championship. Now, I'm not sure if this UConn team is as strong as those other teams, but it's always good to be some place that's, you know, you've had some success with in the past. And, they've had a good season. New Mexico State is, they don't really know a lot about them. One thing I do know is that Coach Stan Hurley, his brother Bob coaches at Arizona State. And last fall they played New Mexico State in a closed scrimmage. So Coach Hurley planned to call his brother yesterday and get a little scouting report in New Mexico State. They won the Western Athletic Conference. They won 26-6. They regularly dominate that conference. So they're a strong team out of that conference, but definitely a smaller conference. They have the Western Athletic Conference Player of the Year in that group, on that team, Teddy Allen, who averages 19 points. He's kind of well-traveled. He's been to like 4 different schools. He's in Nebraska. Last school he was at was in Nebraska. They play a similar style. Coach Hurley was talking yesterday how they're both aggressive attacking teams, so the styles are similar, and they expect a good game. Even and what they have to watch out for, I mean, the 5-12 seeding in the NCAA history has been Usually you see a lot of upsets. There's been 51 times the 12 has beaten the 5 since 1985. So that can be a really dangerous game. But I think UConn feels really good going into the postseason. They've had a great season and they're really confident and their experience last year in the NCAA tournament is going to help them this year going in this tournament run.
That's great. And Gavin, you are traveling out to Buffalo?
I am. I'm making that long drive tomorrow. But Buffalo is a great spot for a tournament. I said they've had success there before. So it is nice to go somewhere they're familiar with. The big key for them will just be, getting off to a good start. You know, it's, you never can tell when you play somebody that you don't know much about what's going to happen. New Mexico State's not a big name. So, you know, it's not the same things. You're not going to get up maybe as much. There's always that kind of potential issue of, you know, overlooking them a little bit. But I think since this group hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, they went last year and lost to Maryland in the first round. I think since, you know, this is experienced group that they're going to be motivated and agree to win it, finally win a game. It's really important to them. They were talking about that yesterday, how, they want to keep building this program back to where it was and winning a game in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2016 would be another step.
Could you both talk a little bit about how this will be a contrast because of the waning COVID emergency? We're back, right?
Yeah, especially the women play two games at home and then potentially two games at home, and then potentially if they keep advancing, their regional is Bridgeport, so it's all UConn fans. Last season they had 7 freshmen and they played in front of no fans. So Paige Beckers was the national player of the year, but she played in front of no fans the whole season. And now they're going to have the home fans behind them for potentially 4 straight games. So it is exciting to see, how the kids react, playing in front of fans again. It's exciting. They just had the Big East tournament at the Mohegan Sun, so that was a lot of fans too. One of the players, Aaliyah Edwards, checked out of the championship game after having a really good game and got a standing ovation from like 7,000 people, and it's like the first time that's happened, so it is kind of exciting.
That's amazing. So Vicky gets to go to Gamble potentially for 2 games and then maybe to Bridgeport. So you won't be racking up a ton of mileage. Gavin, what about, who do you expect to be out there in Buffalo Thursday in terms of fans?
It's usually NCAA sites for the men, or the crowds generally split because, it's hard to get last minute tickets sometimes to these sites. It all depends. Some sites have more tickets available than others. So I'm sure some UConn fans will make the trip, but I don't think it's going to be a pro UConn crowd by any means. I mean, Providence is going to be at that site. Some of their fans will want to go. And, some of the other schools are from a little bit greater distance. So I think the atmosphere is one thing they're really looking forward to, the Huskies. I mean, last year they had the NCAA tournament bubble where the whole tournament was held in Indianapolis in that area. And Coach Hurley was talking how the whole Selection Sunday was a more joyful experience this year. They were together and could celebrate. And last year they were in a hotel room in New York City after the Big East tournament, kind of isolating before they went to the NCAA tournament. There's really no excitement around. It was a really totally strange atmosphere to have Selection Sunday. And then the NCAA tournament, of course, limited fans, hardly any buzz around at the tournament venue. Is just completely different. And so they're all looking forward to experiencing the real March Madness, which, you know, these guys, once again, none of them have been to the tournament until last year. And last year obviously wasn't a normal experience.
Gino was saying last year, the women's bubble was in San Antonio last year, and there would be like a knock on his hotel room door, and he would open it, and there would be like a tray of food on the floor because they couldn't go out to eat or any of the things that they usually do during the tournament. And he's like, what am I, Lassie? He's like, why is it on the floor? So this is just like a totally bizarre experience, you know, not to.
And you get.
Be a normal.
Right. You get the whole deal with the NCAA tournament. You get the open practices. They have a open practice to the public for all the teams. They each get an hour the day before they play. And on the first day, not after that. But so you get people coming in, you just get the whole experience, the whole atmosphere, the buzz, the excitement. You can feel it where before you didn't feel. I mean, last year you didn't feel any of that because it was so everybody was so isolated.
Vicky, were there, you're bringing it all back to me now. I remember your stories, Gavin. They were kind of like, you know, really different because there was no buzz. And then Vicky was in San Antonio, and that was odd too, right? I remember there were issues brought up about weight rooms and women versus men and equity issues. Are there changes now that have been made as a result?
Well, this is the first year. Apparently, they found out last year that the women weren't branded as March Madness. Only the men was March Madness. So now the women are officially March Madness too now.
Okay, so that is a trademark issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're officially March Madness now too.
That's great.
It's in their logo now also.
That's great. And we had a beautiful bracket page, by the way, in the paper today.
The women's bracket didn't come across the AP wire until like 3 minutes till deadline last night. So Chuck had a hard time putting it all together, but he did an amazing job as usual. Chuck Banning, our sports editor.
Yeah, I'm looking at your first two games that you're covering. Vicky, you'll have an easier time. Your game's at 1 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Gavin, you're going to be writing on deadline on Saturday.
Thursday. Yeah, that's always fun. But, you know, it'd still be exciting to be there. And hopefully if they advance, they will play the Arkansas-Vermont winner, and they'll get a better game time on Saturday. So you just have to kind of roll with the punches.
Okay. So that second game is potentially Saturday in Buffalo.
Yes. And then if they get out of that, if they win two games, the next site would be San Francisco.
I would love to have you back here to update me after these first couple of rounds. And we're going to stay optimistic that we're going to be, going all the way to Minneapolis for the women and then New Orleans for the men. Anything else that you wanted to add?
I just think for the men, this is another important step for them. This is Coach Hurley's fourth year and returning to the tournament back-to-back years. It's the first time it's happened since 2011 and 2012 at UConn. I mean, they had such a rich history with four national championships, but that history is, in the past, obviously in the past, and these players had nothing to do with that. And they want to leave their marks before they leave. You know, they have a veteran team, so they have a lot of guys who are hungry to do something. They know about the UConn history and they want to be part of it. And so this is a big tournament for them to win some games.
As far as the women, they have just been plagued all season with injuries and illnesses. A couple of them got COVID when they went home for Christmas. Paige Beckers, who is the reigning national player of the year, had a fractured tibial plateau and had to undergo surgery and missed a couple months of the season. So she's not finalist for national player of the year or anything, and they had to do the whole season without her. And then a couple of their other guards had injuries. They played a few games with six players this year. They lost five regular season games. And then the last time they lost was February 9th against Villanova. And right now they have all 11 of their available players back, and nine of them. It's a nine-person rotation. All nine of them have started this season, like out of necessity, but now they all have that experience. He'll start five people and then bring two people off the bench, and those two people go in, and they're better than the two that were in the starting lineup sometimes. Their depth is one of their strengths and also their unselfishness, because in that situation, sometimes you would think like somebody would be jealous that somebody else is scoring more or playing more, but they're not, because they're just so relieved, because they some of them were playing 40 minutes a game that whole time, and they were getting all banged up, injured, stress fractures, concussions, and now they to get to have somebody come in for them, they're actually relieved, so they're not jealous or anything. So their depth and their unselfishness, and then so last time they lost was February 9th against Villanova. And since then, they played 10 games, and they've held six of their opponents to under 40 points. So their defense is really up there. And they breezed through the Big East tournament at Mohegan Sun. They won the championship game by 30 points over Villanova, who had beaten them. So they're really on a roll going into the tournament, so it'll be interesting. Paige Beckers it'll be like 10 days in between the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament, and last night at the selection show he said that she's getting close to being where she was before she was injured, so it will be definitely interesting to see how far they can go.
Excellent. We look forward to your coverage, guys. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.